Hey, I just want to make one announcement that Sunday is the last day, the last opportunity you have to get your absentee ballot for the election. Sunday, this Sunday. Okay. Well, has anybody in here ever heard my testimony? You have? Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to hear it again. Hey, listen, this is part of my message tonight. And I just want to give you a little bit of my background, if you don't know it, just so that you know where I was and where I am now. And let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I pray for your blessing on this message, Father, that it would help someone. I need to hear it as much as anyone else, Lord. And we just pray for your blessing on it, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I was born in 1949. And in Scranton, on Jackson Street. Jackson Street used to have a hospital. It was called the West Side Hospital. And it's since been torn down, but I was taking a lady home once in the van, and she said, I was born over there. And I said, where? She said, right there in that corner. And I said, well, there's nothing there. She said, there was a hospital. And I said, what was it? She said, the West Side. I said, so was I. I was born there, and we were born the same year, I believe. But so that makes me 75 years old. And I've been saved, 1980. I was saved in this church, not this building, but in the Revival Baptist Church over on Wayne Avenue. And I was baptized at the Grace Grace Fellowship, I think it is, in Dunmore, because we didn't have a baptistry at that time. And so I've been a township supervisor for 45 years. I've been an architect for 50 years. And I've been on the Planning Commission 50 years. I've been married for 42 years. And I was a science teacher for 15 years. Kent Hovind always says that. okay, so just to give you my background, now I grew up as a Catholic and went to a Catholic church for 30 years. And I could have gotten saved sooner, but you see, no one gave me the gospel. And that's why it's important to give the gospel. And but nevertheless, I'm not complaining. When I was 30 years old, I got saved. Now, before that, I went to various churches with with friends who took me there, who were saved. And one was the Faith Community Church in Dalton. And I think Pastor Olson was the pastor there. I heard the gospel. His church was so filled that we had to stand outside and hope that you could hear what was going on inside. And I also went to the First Presbyterian Church in Elmhurst. And Gary and Mary Lynn are here tonight. They went to that church and for years. And the pastor there was Harry McElroy. And I remember his preaching. I wasn't saved at that time, but I was on the road to being saved. And finally, I was invited by my cousin to come to this church in, let's see, I think 1979. and towards the end of the year, and I got saved by Pastor Bloom's preaching. 44 years ago. And I became a deacon in 1990. And I'm telling you all these numbers, not because it's so special that I did all these things, but I'm just telling you this because tonight my message is about what I have learned in the past 45 years that I've been saved. And that's the name of my message. By the way, I became the senior deacon in this church because, I don't know when it was, before 2000, because all the other deacons left. So I became the senior deacon by the process of elimination. I'm not the best soul winner. I am not the best deacon. And I don't profess to be anything that I'm not. But one thing that I have been able to do with the grace of God is to be consistent. And that means to show up. I remember someone interviewing a Sunday school teacher. She was in her 90s, and they said, "What is the secret to you being a Sunday school teacher for so many years?" And she said, "I just show up." And it's important that we do that. So I have a list of items that I'm going to tell you. There's an echo in here. I'm hearing an echo. There's a list that I have. I'm going to share, there it goes, that I'm going to share with you that will help you, I hope, will help you to be a better Christian. You know, before I was saved, I learned everything the hard way. But since I got saved, I've learned everything that I have learned God's way. And God's way is a lot easier than the hard way. Because he tells you what to do. All you have to do is do it. You don't have to guess. You just have to trust him. And the first topic I want to talk about is the pastor. Now, I know people that that have left this church years ago. I'm talking about many years ago. And they've left the church because, they felt that they knew more than the pastor did. And I can tell you this. Here's some advice. And that is that if you believe that you know more than the pastor, then you should quietly leave and start your own church. Pastor Bloom, in my opinion, and I know it's shared by many others, is a dedicated pastor that loves his congregation. And he's dedicated to it. He's only the second pastor that this church has ever had. And he's getting close to being a pastor for 50 years. And he gives us spiritual food. And we need to, we have done this before. We have celebrated his 25th anniversary of preaching. I remember that, and we've done many things through the years, but he's faithful, and we need to be able to build him up and to strengthen him and to pray for him. He always says that you need to pray for me, And, you know, we don't have prophets today, but we have pastors. And prophets were representatives of God on earth. God told them what to tell his people, and they did. And essentially, that's what a pastor does. Now, I'm not saying pastor is a prophet and in the biblical sense, but he gives us spiritual food. He feeds us spiritual food that we need. There's nobody who will ever leave this auditorium and go through those doors that hasn't been fed spiritually. The next advice I have is on tithing. Now, tithing is something I had never heard of. I never knew anything about it until I was saved and became a member of a Baptist church. And I then, of course, I saw where Abraham tithed, and you know, I said, this is a good idea. And I start talking to people, and they said that, yes, they tithe. And I said, well, I'm gonna do it too. And I know I've known many people who don't tithe. Now, I'm not saying there's anything, if you're not led to tithe, I understand. But God says that if you tithe, if you give me 1/10 of all of your increase, he said, I'm going to bless you. It's the same thing where God promised children that if they would honor, and this is young children and older children, if they would honor their mother and their father, that he would give them a long life. It's a direct promise from God. God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing that you could not even comprehend. And I can only say it now, after 40 some years, that it works. God will bless you if you do it. But you got to step out in faith and do it. And if you don't, see, God's always testing us. He's testing us to see what we're going to do, but he tests us to make us stronger. And tithing is one of the ways. It honors God, and God has no choice but to bless you. I used to tell our boys when they were little, just give me a reason why I should do something good for you. Just give me a reason. And it's the same thing with God. All we have to do is just give him a reason. He said he would bless us. And I mean blessings. I'm not using that term as a catch-all or an overall statement, but I mean for specifically will bless you. I believe also in tithing our time. There's 168 hours in a week. 1/10 of that is 16.8 hours. Now, you say, well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, you know, it's time that you're giving God. And the way I do it, hey, I have to drive sometimes 30 minutes to get here. And 30 minutes to get back. And that is something that I just add up the time during the week. My preparation for Sunday school, my whatever ministry that I'm working on, it adds up. And it many times goes way beyond 16.8 hours. But that's something you may want to consider. It only honors God, and God has no choice but to bless you. Now, the next advice I have is on trouble and suffering. And we'll always have trouble, and we'll always have suffering. And if you haven't had it in your life, it's coming. I can assure you. And God lets that happen because that strengthens us. It makes us stronger. When our son Eric was killed in Iraq in 2005, I look back at it now, and it was just something that made Cynthia and I closer to God. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good. All things, not just some, but all. And no matter what trial or what trouble you have in your life, it's there for a purpose. And that purpose is to make you stronger and to depend on God. If we didn't have problems, if we didn't have troubles, we wouldn't need God. You know the story about the man who fell off the cliff at night. He was walking, fell off the cliff, and as he was falling, he grabbed a branch, and he was hanging there, and he was praying to God, and he was saying, God, please, please, get me off of this. Save me from falling and dying. And God said, let go. And he said, is there somebody who can come and help me, Lord? He said, let go. Well, the guy hung on all night, and morning was coming, and it was getting bright out, and he looked down, and he was about 6 inches off the ground. God said, let go, but he didn't trust God. And that's the way we are sometimes. We just don't want to trust God. We say we do, but then when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, we don't. There's only one way to know that God's grace is sufficient, and that is to get to the place where only the grace of God can bring you through it. In other words, you've got to experience it. You've got to get to the place where there is no one else but God that can help you. That's where Cynthia and I were when Eric died. We were at that place where there was no one else we could go to. We had to trust God. Trouble and suffering is inevitable for us. The next bit of advice is that to never give up. I've seen so many people start doing something. It could be reading the Bible on a schedule so that you read through the Bible for the whole year. It could be something as simple as that, and they get partway through and then they give up. They start coming to church faithfully, and then they start missing Sundays, missing Wednesdays. They start giving up. My advice is show up. Because what you miss in what God has for you to hear on a Sunday night, or a Wednesday could be just the thing that God wants you to hear, and you missed it. I remember coming, I figured out that over the years, this was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I figured this out. It's more sense. But I figured out how many miles that I had driven, and not Cynthia, but just me, over all the years coming down here to this church. And it was well over a trip to the moon and halfway back. Now, it's 240,000 miles to the moon. What am I saying? I'm saying that it takes effort. I remember driving here in snowstorms. There's only a few times that I missed that I can think of. But my determination was that I'm going to be here, because if I don't, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss something that God has prepared, something that's put on pastor's heart for me to hear that's going to help me. And I'm basically selfish. I guess we all are to a certain extent. And I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss what God has for me to hear. So my advice is, don't give up. Don't give up on little things. Don't give up on big things. And it's never the big things. It's always the little things that cause problems. That's my advice. Don't give up soul winning. Don't give up praying. Don't give up coming to church. Don't give up tithing. Don't give up whatever you started to do. Don't give it up. And the next advice is on pride. P-R-I-D-E. And there is nothing that has caused more problems in churches over the years than pride. The pride that says, you can't tell me what to do. I know what's best for me. I know what's best for my family. People who don't want to take criticism, not necessarily directed at them, but just, the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. In other words, if you're prideful in whatever way you could be, there's going to be a result for that pride. And we need to be humble. Yes. And the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord. And pride is the opposite of being humble. And I know that there are times that I have heard preaching that I needed to hear it. I didn't like it, but I know I needed to hear it. And accepting that and saying that, yes, I need it, is humility. Saying that I don't need it and you're not going to tell me what to do is pridefulness. It's one of the worst sins that can destroy your life and destroy your church and your family is pridefulness. Number two. My next advice. God's ways are not our ways. We always ask God for things, and then we think that God is necessarily going to give it to us then, or that he may not give it to us at all, or he may give it to us at a later time, or he may not, he may give us something entirely different. But see, God knows what we need. And the way we want to do things is different from the way that God wants to do things. And God's way is perfect. I'm thankful that I have a perfect God and a perfect Savior, that I don't have to question, that I don't have to think twice. What he says is true, and that's what I need to do. And we need to be able to recognize that and to know that God knows what's best for us. The first verse that I ever learned in the Bible is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll tell you which way to go. But you've got to trust him completely. The next advice is, especially on Sunday morning, is wake up. How many times I have invited people to come out to church that they slept in on a Sunday morning? How many times does that happen? Bus captains know that. It happens all the time. Hey, if you're going to be in... Now, I'm not talking to bus kids. I'm talking to us. I know people... through the years that are consistently exactly and precisely 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late. Hey, if you hear the message, it's good, no matter when you get here. And if it has to be late, that's fine. But if you're consistently late, you could correct that. If you're a half hour late consistently, all you have to do is get up a half hour earlier, and you'll be here on time. We only hear, statistically, we only remember 15% of what we hear. And if you're not listening, you don't hear anything. And it's just a waste of time, even coming to church, because you haven't heard anything. And I find that as I get older, what I do, I have a little book, and when pastor's preaching, I'm taking notes. Because I'll come home, if Cynthia isn't here, and like tonight, I don't have to take notes tonight. but Cynthia will say, well, what was pastor's message? And I'll say, I can't remember. I used to say this. I just can't remember it right now. And then I'll remember it later. But now I have a book. I can tell her exactly what the message was. And, you know, you can tape it. You can listen to the tape. That's great. That's wonderful. But I like to just open my book and look. I can scroll through my book. So it's important to listen. If we don't listen, if we don't remember what we are listening to, then we're going to miss it. God's speaking to you, but if you're not listening, you're going to miss it. And the next bit of advice is to use your gifts. Everybody has a special gift that they have. Whether it's giving or singing or whatever ministry it is, everybody has a gift. And we need to use that. Don't settle for less than the very best. Give it your all. We sing that song, you know, to give your all. It's important that you don't come here and think you're going to serve God half-heartedly. We need to give God everything. God gave us everything. God gave us his word, and his word is true, and it is perfect, and we have no excuse. We have no excuse but to worship and honor God. He gave it to us in black and white. By the way, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It's 44 years old. And by the way, I won this Bible on a contest that we had. We had a campaign, and I won this Bible because I had two people come to this campaign. I think it was four or five weeks. I don't remember, but they came consistently to the services for all during the campaign. And I won this Thompson Chain Reference Bible. That was the prize. And I have new Bibles, but I just like this old Bible. because it's the truth. And of course, I know it. I have it underlined, and I can find things in here that I can't find as quickly in my other Bible. But so I don't know how I got on that, but use what God has given you. And don't hold back. Don't hold back from God, because God never holds back for us. And he even gave his son to save us. And no matter how long, if you're here 45 years or 45 days or 45 minutes, it doesn't make any difference. Use your gifts. Use what God has given you. We're on this earth a short time, and time is running out for all of us. And we don't know when we're going to die. And if you're not saved, you need to make sure that you are. And if you are saved, you need to make sure that you are living for God, and you're using everything that God has given you to serve him and to honor him. You know, Pastor always says that you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse, which means that you're not taking anything with you when you die. But there is one thing that you can take with you when you die, and that is the people that you have led to the Lord. They are the ones that are going with you. They may not be going at that time, but they're going. And you'll see them again. And God has promised us that. So God has been faithful to me through all these years. And I praise God. I would not be able to do any of these things that I have shared with you other than by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And I just want to encourage you. I thought about, you know, things that I could preach on tonight, but I thought that this could be something that might just be one of those bits of advice, could be something that would help you. And I hope it did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that you have saved us and you've put us here in a place that is the closest thing to heaven on earth, is the local New Testament church. And we're thankful that you saved us and you put us here. And Lord, we ask you to bless the campaign that we have coming up, and all the all the people that will be saved during that time, all the baptisms. Lord, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to what you're going to do, and we just pray that we would do our part, no matter how small it may be, that we'd give our all. We'd give 100%. And Father, thank you. We ask and pray these things all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.